Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Keeping Current, the podcast from ERS and HVM designed to plug you into the world of electrical power systems. I'm your host, Joe Dwyer. I'm excited to kick off season two with a topic that has come to the top of minds for many people in facilities everywhere, addressing compliance, maintenance, and what it really takes to stay up to code regarding your electrical equipment. So whether you're an engineer, facility manager, or just interested in where the industry is headed, this season brings expert insights and suggestions that you will not want to miss. So joining us today, Warren Garber, a good friend of mine, who is a sales engineer at ERS. Warren and I have worked together for many years. In addition to a sales engineer, Warren is also a NITA Level 2 technician, so has a lot of background in doing shutdowns, doing maintenance on major equipment and electrical testing, and we're thankful to have him today. So get ready to unplug, relax, and connect, and welcome to Keeping Current. Warren, good afternoon.
Thank you, Joe. Good afternoon to you, too.
Good. Well, happy to have you. Glad you can make it today. I know you're busy. And one of the things that we want to address, Warren, is specifically the how testing has changed from the time when you and I were, you know, starting in the field to now. And what are some of the changes that you've seen based upon compliance requirements?
Well, a lot of it has to do with safety, of course. When I started doing this back in the 90s, we were probably kind of under the attitude of just get it done. You know, we still worked as safe as we could, but none of us really knew what NFPA was. And, you know, we all knew OSHA was around, but, you know, didn't really pay attention to a lot of it. You know, we just kind of did the jobs that we had to do. The big change now is that everybody has been, our customers have been exposed to the safety, and all of the electricians that are working for us have been exposed to the safety. So it's a much, much safer environment for us all to work in.
So in your opinion, what's pushed it from a formerly being a best practice to now becoming an industry standard? Is it insurance? Is it OSHA? Is it cost? Where do you think are the reasons lie?
I think a lot of it has to do with safety again, and you know, the push to get arc flash done in 70E. A lot of the things in 70E have pushed 70B to be required, because if you don't test the equipment and know that the equipment is up to snuff, it's not going to operate in the amount of time that it should operate in, which kind of throws all the calculations for the arc flash out.
Good point. So in your position as a sales engineer, it's obviously your one of your responsibilities is to provide advice and guidance to your clients. So how do you bridge that gap, explaining the value to your customers who see it just as another, oh gosh, I got some more stuff I got to do administrative wise. How do you cross that bridge?
Well, my main thing is I really like to educate my customers. And the first thing that I do when I walk into their facility is kind of look around and see, you know, are there drawings on the walls? Are there stickers on the breakers? Do the equipment have stickers for inspections? You know, if they don't, you kind of know that you're going to have to guide the customer a little bit more on the requirements and what needs to be done. And, you know, have they actually tested the equipment? You know, you really have to kind of feel what they're going to need from you as far as the program goes, and what they have done and what they need to be educated on.
Excellent point. Yeah, I feel that, you know, not everybody has the, you know, subject matter expertise that you have and such. And so I feel as part of our responsibilities, it's our job to help guide our clients. I couldn't agree more. So yeah. That leads me to my next question is, What trends or expectations have shifted in most recent years, and where do you see this going?
Well, I really see this being, you know, as a total package, right? You know, the electrical maintenance programs that customers have, you know, a lot of them are lacking, and it's up to us as sales engineers to go into the facilities, figure out what the customers need, and be able to guide them and, you know, push them in the right direction so that they can check all the boxes, right? Some of them may have little pieces and parts of the program done correctly, but they may be lacking in, they may not have a person on site that actually knows the equipment well. They may not have, maybe the contractor came in and somebody decided to, paint over all the stickers, so they you can't see when anything was inspected the last time. It really is up to us to steer them in the right direction and make sure that they're educated.
With the new 70B, one of the major factors of a successful 70B implementation is the electrical maintenance program, or the EMP, and then an EMP coordinator. So what are some of the factors, if you would, of who should that be, and what are some of the things that need to be involved in transferring the information from the 70B manual to a formal EMP program with addressing the compliance manager? How does that will that work?
Well, the compliance manager, first off, needs to know the equipment, right? They have to know the process, whether it's a manufacturing facility or, a warehouse. They have to know the facility's equipment, know the condition of the equipment, how the switching should work. There's a lot of requirements for them. I think honestly, having that person in the facility, they have to have ownership of the equipment, right? They have to be the one that's assigned to it. I don't know that they necessarily need to be an engineer or need to be an electrician, but they have to have the facility, the know-how, of the facility itself. Mm-hmm. Are there special requirements? You know a little bit more about that than I do. Are there special requirements for that person?
No. I just wanted to, the way I view it, it's somebody who should at least understand the systems and understand, the schedule of maintenance, understanding what is a serviceable, limited service, and non-serviceable condition, things like that. And that's where I think having, and I want your opinion on this, we have a little bit of background in horsepower doing this. So do you think that clients having an external partner helping them bridge that gap is helpful, or are we just getting in the way?
No, I really do think an outside partner helping them with that is very, very beneficial for them. They don't have the time to, to really put 100% into it like it needs to have, or the expertise,
I have to agree because, when you're dealing with the principals we deal with, they're well experienced. But what the problem is, just like you said, they have a hard time. I mean, it takes an enormous amount of man hours to develop a program like this and implement it and manage it. So I think, I have to agree with you 100%, having somebody who has the background, who has the understanding of what it takes to develop that and then implement it from an outside perspective, I really think helps not only the client and the principals, but also the workers. Because what we want to establish to the, to the working staff is, hey, we're not here to tell you how to do your job. What we're here to do is make sure you do it safe, and you're in compliance with the new standard. That's really all's where we're here to do.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, for sure.
What's the one thing, that's the one question everybody says, what's the one thing you would do? But what's the one thing you would do to on suggestion of how to make progress for the team to get started? And like, where should they begin?
I really think infrared scans are your foot in the door with this. An infrared scan done properly, that's the key. All panel covers need to be removed. Everything needs to be visually inspected. Everything needs to be thermally inspected. But at the same time, the technicians, when they're doing those inspections, if they open their eyes a little bit more and maybe document that there's, missing screws, or that the equipment maybe is not up to snuff, it's got some damage on the inside. I've been in many facilities where, you're condos are a big one for this, where you get into the room that's got all the equipment in it for the pool, and they are also storing all the chemicals in there, you know, so you've got rusted panel covers, and, you know, it's just the condition, overall condition, you know, it's not just an infrared scan. So you're in the equipment, you're looking at everything, and then that way you can kind of get an overall idea of what kind of situation the electrical equipment's in, not just thermally, but also, you know, real conditions. And that's the best, I think that's the best way to get to know the building, right?
Yeah,
and then you
yeah.
can, then you have an exit interview after the infrared scan's done and have a talk with your customer over, you know, those conditions, you know, and that opens the door next to, well, maybe we should do an arc flash next, you know, and and then from the arc flash, well, now we need to test the breakers and make sure that everything's working properly, because the arc flash is not going to be effective. So,
correct.
You know,
correct.
I think those are, you know, the infrared scans usually the best way to get, and they get, it's bang for the buck too, right? You know, they get an infrared scan done for a couple thousand dollars, and on that they can bridge, you know, okay, well, this is what we've, maybe we didn't find a lot of thermal problems, but we also have, we may have a lot of mechanical issues, you know, that we need to fix, or things like that.
Yeah. In my travels, I've seen, like, for instance, I was at a condo facility right on the beach on the Atlantic coast in Florida. And they literally had never exercised the main switch in like 57 years.
Yeah.
And so they were wondering, like, well, can you guarantee that this is going to work? And I'm like, well, I can guarantee you that I'm going to have a plan B and C in case it doesn't work.
Because
you
it's, know, probably so not.
it's educating your client and letting them know we're not magicians. You know, we deal with, you get what you inspect, not what you expect.
Yes.
And so that's what I try to convey to my clients. A few more questions, because I know you're busy. What does success look like when an electrical maintenance program is done correctly? That's an open-ended question. But
that is an open-ended question, isn't it? When they're done correctly, you know, you have a safe environment for your workers to work in, also your outside contractors to work in. Mm-hmm. You decrease your liability, right? Because if you have all your ducks in a row, and if something, you know, God forbid, something bad does happen in your building, because, you know, it can, you know, the inspectors will come in and insurance will come in, and you will be able to have all of your documentation in front of you to say, look, I've done my due diligence. I have tried to, you know, cover myself, you know, as best I can, you know, but an accident still happens. So it's a efficient, safe environment, you know, an electrical system that works correctly. You know, I mean, you really don't know what's there. I mean, that's the scariest part of this business. You know, people could just sit back and just do nothing. And they're like, well, my system works, you know, the breakers don't trip. Well, maybe they should, you know, so.
They never trip, no matter what I do.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, the biggest one for me is, and my total pet peeve is just the single line drawings on the wall. For me, that is the safest thing to have, to be able to come into a building I've never been in and visually look on the wall and see, and I know how the system is wired, right? I know what is my means of disconnect. That is really what we're going after here, is, you know, a way for people to be able to work safely and a building to work the way it's supposed to.
I couldn't agree more. That's one of the things I stress when I'm teaching, is, you know, set yourself up for success. So to add to your, you know, the single line on the wall under a piece of plastic, I always say, well, when's the only time you're going to really look at that drawing? And everybody says, well, when the power goes out. I said, well, what do you think we want above that single line drawing?
How about a light?
Every now and then I get somebody say an emergency light, and I shake their hand and say, God bless you. Great job. Yep. So, you know, it's more like, And what are some of the other things we want in the switch groom? We want a shepherd's hook. We want a dielectric mat. You know, we want some hearing protection. We'd like to maybe have additional PPE and things like that. You know, that's a maintenance when electrical maintenance is done right. Because in addition to that, you know, you got to work with your electrical contractor. You got to work with your testing company. And to add fruit to the 70B program, most of that is documentation. That's really what most of this is. Mm-hmm. So if you work, if you have work orders that, you know, at your facility that says, you know, need to do quarterly maintenance, well, there's your documentation. To test your transformers and things that you need a contractor to do, well, your documentation is straight from the contractor.
Right.
Nope. So those are the things that help in that regard. So
yeah.
A final piece of advice for teams to build or refine their EMP or looking to keep up to the standard. So I look at it as, you know, this is like one big elephant, and, you know, you know, nobody expects us to have this all done in a week. So my saying is, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So what's your approach to it?
Well, back to the infrared scans first. And And like I said, you know, walking into the electrical room, and like you just pointed out too, a main electrical room can tell you a whole lot about the condition of a building, right?
Yes, sir.
And the condition of the people that take care of it, right? If it's got a bunch of stuff on the floor and you can't find a shepherd's hook, you know, that they all should have one, but sometimes they're stashed, you know, back behind things. So, you know, I think that the best way for a facility to start this program, right? And let's say they haven't done anything, right? They need to start, and they know they need to start, you know, and like you said, it's a huge, huge, you know, huge thing that they need to accomplish.
Right.
They need to start off with an infrared scan. Then they need to figure out, you know, breaker testing or even just breaker exercising, right?
Yep,
you should exercise main breakers, facility breakers, at least once a year, just to make sure that they open and close, you know?
Yep.
There's a lot of things that they can do. The documentation, the safety training for their employees and documentation of that, you know, these are all small pieces that you can collect and put together in a big, to put the big pieces in the puzzle, right?
Yeah.
But just break it into the small pieces and make it so that it's not that arduous for them to do. You know, if it's a very large facility, you can split it up into sections.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, start with, you know, section A. And section A, we're going to get, you know, first let's get some single line drawings done or pull those old drawings out and see what still we can do and what we can't do. You know, it's putting the little pieces together of, you know, each section and then eventually building the whole thing together. Once you have this together, maintaining it on an annual basis or a quarterly basis, whichever way you want to do it, you know, maintaining it's going to be easy, you know, but it's building it in the first place, you know, and it's really up to us as sales engineers to try and design the program and help our customers, you know, educate them on what they need to do and how they can, you know, you need to show them how they can split it into the little parts and, you know, let's do this first, let's, you know, do this next. And that way that they can put it all together, you know, and eventually you're just helping them, you know, with the facility.
Excellent. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And, we already have developed some programs for some clients, some 70 programs, and we received great feedback. And what we did is just address in depth, you know, what is required. And, you know, that's how we, you know, figured out that, you know, a lot of this stuff is going to be, we already have, but what do we have to do? We have to put it under an umbrella or a program like the 70B. So we know that we're not going to miss a piece of gear. So we know we're not going to, you know, do follow up on some findings on our infrared and such. So I couldn't agree with you more, Warren. I mean, and really, really do appreciate you being here today. And thanks so much for being with all of us today. And any final thoughts as we close out, Warren?
First, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You know, I'll make time for you anytime, Joe.
All right.
I just really wanted to say, this is a very important topic. You know, the changes that I've seen over the last 30 years as far as safety goes, and now, you know, the driving factor to this is the fact that they're requiring these things to be done, which, you know, really should have been done a long time ago, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's up to us to try and teach our customers, you know, what needs to be done and the proper ways of getting it done, you know.
Yeah.
And I have so many customers that are, you know, well, last guy did the infrared scan in 4 hours and you're telling me it's going to take 3 days. And it's like, well, you know, did he find any problems last time? You know,
nope.
Did he take any covers off? You know, so
yeah, apples and oranges, and oranges.
And there's, you know, that's another thing that they're saying in 70B, you know, that the covers have to come off. I mean, they're saying that. So, you know, I think this is a very important topic, and I was glad to take part with this with you. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you, Warren. Ladies and gentlemen, Warren Garber. Thank you. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of Keeping Current. If you found today's conversation insightful, please subscribe, leave a review, and be sure to tune in to every other Thursday for more expert insights. You can also connect with us on LinkedIn to stay in the loop and join the conversation at any time. We'd love to have you. And thanks for listening. And until next time, keep current.